on ABC Radio and on your pod, you're with me, Hannah Viva, on The Good Life. No matter what we believe or where we come from, love is the impetus for so many of our endeavours. So where do we find love? And how do we ensure longevity in our relationships? Whether we're looking for refinement, sensitivity, or even humour in a partner, our choices are determined both by our character and by the mores of our religious and cultural upbringing. Tonight's Good Life is the first episode on love, as it's found in Australia's Orthodox Jewish community. For thousands of years, Orthodox Jews found their partners through matchmakers, or in Hebrew, shadchans. Jewish matchmakers act as confidants, providing feedback as to whether attraction is actually based on long-term compatibility. Uniquely, dating, or shidduch dating as it's termed by Jews, is conducted with formal references. And the matchmaker's role doesn't end there. If dates don't work out, it's the matchmaker's job to dump the other party. We went to meet sometime Jewish matchmaker and president of the organization Women for Life, Gavriela Eber. She and her husband live in Bondi and have 9 children. She offers counsel and advice to Orthodox Jews when it comes to that life-changing moment of tying the knot.
Hi, how are you?
I checked out that guy for you. Remember that guy, Mark?
Yeah, that's the one. So I checked him out, and he really, really sounds good for you.
In this day and age when there's so much divorce and there's so much fear of marriage and people don't know what parameters to use to be able to figure out how I'm going to know that this partner is going to be for life, or at least you want somebody who you're really going to enjoy and love and be good role models for children together with. So one of the most important things is to really know that you're an adult before you're choosing. You can't be fully evolved and everything like that, but enough to realize that the choice is coming from a real mature place. It's not out of selfishness. It's not out of a passing thing. It's not based on anything that's tentative. You can see growth with this person, and you have a desire to grow. We all have needs. It can be from a place of needs, obviously, but not from just a place of needs, where after those needs are met, then it's going to be sort of not as important, the relationship anymore. It's deeper because it's a life path. And to do that, you've got to be mature, and you've got to look realistically at who you are and who you're not.
So tell us what dating's like for Orthodox Jews.
In the Jewish tradition, what happens is that people, in order to get married, would date each other, but not just randomly. They would date according to good evidence that they'd be suitable for each other in advance. References are checked out either by the shadchan or by the parents or the mentors of each of the partners. Each person would give a reference page to a third party, and the third party is known as the shadchan, the person who brings the match together.
Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. Find me a find. Catch me a catch.
We would talk to the person who we've checked the reference for and tell them what we've learned about the prospective date. And if they think it sounds interesting or they think it sounds worthwhile, then they would go ahead. There's laws of speech that we have to observe, even when not saying detrimental things or mean things about somebody unnecessarily. If somebody has a very, very negative trait, you'd couch it in as positive terms as possible. Say it in a way that would give the person the benefit of the doubt. But we should warn the person if there's something worthy of being warned about. Like, you know, you don't not tell them that the person was charged as a pedophile, or, you know what I mean? If they, you know, you would just say, look, it's not going to work out.
He's handsome and tall, that is, from side to side, but he's a nice man, a good catch, right? Right. You heard he has a temper, he'll beat you every night, but only...
The reason that this is done is so that, let's say there's a smoker. This is a very simple, superficial type of example, but let's say there's a smoker and there's another person who's allergic to cigarette smoke. If you know that from the beginning, You don't even go out. It's a waste of both of your time. If there's a lot of qualities that are compatible, then there's a good chance that it's worth your time to go out. It's also your emotional investment in the connection. We don't just abuse that emotional connection. We preserve it for when it's really likely to be suitable.
When you're setting two people up, what are you looking for in their references?
If you look at a reference page and everything could be perfect on paper, but the personalities just don't click, so that wouldn't result in a match. But sometimes you can tell right away that things are not going to work. What you're looking for is that there's nothing to cancel out the potential in the match. And the other thing is you're looking for what might be suitable. You can't tell for another person whether they're going to like a personality. They have to go check that out themselves. But you can tell if they're even in the ballpark.
Hi, the kids are asleep. Come on in.
Hi.
Sorry. How are you?
Good, how are you?
How was it?
It was really nice.
Oh, good. Come. Really, let's good. Have a cup of coffee and come talk in here.
Did you have a good time?
Yeah, you know what? It was really nice. It was comfortable. We had a good conversation. We went for a walk around Lady Macquarie's chair.
That's wonderful. That's really, you felt good about it?
I'm still not.
It's actually quite tricky. I once was checking out a boy for a girl, and I talked to a lot of people, and it looked very good, but I just happened to talk to somebody who had roommated with him. And he said, look, I really feel bad saying this, but in certain circumstances, when he doesn't get his way, he can really, really get angry and whatever. And I said, was he violent? And he said, no, he's not violent, but he's just a little bit immature in that area. And I thought to myself, do I think that this girl would be able to handle that? It wasn't going to be abusive. Like, he wasn't an abusive type. It was just an immaturity. With the right wife, he could probably be coached to handle those kind of situations better. But I didn't have confidence with this girl that she would have the wherewithal to be able to overcome that. It would have been a bit tricky for her. I told her that. I said, you know, look, he's like, hey, this is what I heard, and I don't know if it would be suitable for you. What do you think? She agreed that it would be hard for her to speak up in such a circumstance and to sort of sway that in a positive direction.
So people with tempers still have hope. They're not permanently left on the shelf, so to speak. Because I could imagine that could be quite a trial in a matchmaking system. I'd say a lot of us are just innocents when we find out that our partners have a little bit of a fiery side.
No, if there's a strong girl or, you know, guy in the case of a girl that's like that, it can be okay because it can be taught to be positive. Negative characteristics are not just negative. There's always a positive side. There's always a growth side. And I actually know of a couple. She's so shy. And I thought, oh, she's such a gem. But who will have the sensitivity to recognize that? And guess what? She met her match, and he adores her, and he pampers her, and she's, you know, come out of herself. But she's allowed to be shy. She's allowed to be who she is, and he's just
bring
the perfect match.
Bring me a ring, for I'm longing to be the envy of all I see. For Papa, make him a scholar. For Mama, make him rich as a king. For me,
I'll ask them questions about how they reacted, how he reacted, how she reacted, so that they can sort of weigh whether they're coming from a mature place. There was one couple that I was, you know, I was talking to the girl, and she was talking about how much she admired him, how much she liked him, this and that and the other, and she thought it was right. But as we started talking about it, she realized some of the things that he'd said to her on the dates had really hurt her feelings and had been very insensitive, and she saw beyond the surface. Like, on the surface, he looked like such a good match. The reason I got that out of her is because I could sense a bit of dread or a bit of indecision. And as I just pointing that out helped her clarify that this was not the one. On the other hand, sometimes when you talk to a young person where it is the one, you can help them realize, hey, this is working. This is going to do it. This is somebody I want to spend my life with. This is somebody who understands me, who's sensitive, who's caring, who is willing to listen, is willing to learn about me. I want to learn about him or her.
Now, I believe when you're looking to match up prospective people in the community, one consideration is often their family lineage or if they're descended from an influential rabbi or not. What does family lineage have to do with matchmaking, and how does it play a part in the Orthodox Jewish community?
Family lineage is when somebody has a great rabbi in their ancestry, or they come from a particular dynasty of the Jewish people, because we're made up of 12 tribes and there's lots of stars in our history. And so if somebody has a very high profile lineage, then they would probably suit somebody that matches up in that lineage. Some people are very easygoing. Their lineage doesn't mean very much to them at all, and they'd be welcoming and open to everybody. It doesn't have to be an issue, but when it is an issue, it's better to get it right. We're not just talking about a pop star that everybody likes the way they look. We're talking about somebody who comes up with new concepts in Jewish law or in Jewish philosophy. That's what lineage would be. It would be that you're the children of that person who did work, holy work, and therefore it gives a certain status. In the Orthodox circles, what happens is that if they're religious and they follow the customs of their grandfather, and the home is permeated with his books and with his learning and with, you know, they're sort of got a fame around the family because of this lineage. If you had somebody that didn't have a similar lineage come into the family, they could be made to feel very comfortable. It could be fine. Or it could be that the person would always feel that they didn't really deserve to be there, and that's not good for anybody. I know of a family where she wasn't from a religious family, and her husband had this lineage. And she and the boy got along very well. But afterwards, on the part of the in-laws, they were very distraught, and they thought, you know, is this really going to work? It took them a while to settle on the idea and to really accept her into the family. She eventually became very beloved, but she went through a very challenging time.
How do you counsel religious Jews through the dating process? And when you do, what sorts of things are you hoping to clarify for them?
When I talk to somebody about a date that they've just had, my top priority would be to make sure that I don't cloud out their feelings or their impressions with my hopes or dreams for them or my discouraging of them. You know, I try to keep neutral, and I try to hear how they felt about it, and I try to help them explore what happened on the date for them, what their experience was like, and whether it was a positive one, whether it was heading in a good direction.
Nothing you can do that can't be done. Nothing you can sing that can't be sung.
After the date's arranged, the couple meets at the appropriate time and place, and it's usually kept quite confidential, because if it doesn't work out, it's not like they want to be an item in their sphere of friends. And like, for example, a daughter who is dating, she wouldn't want her younger sisters and brothers to know about the fact that she's dating somebody or that who she's dating, because they might get their heart set on it, or a little 4-year-old might say, when are you getting married, you know, and it may not be the right one. So it's really kept kind of confidential. But they usually do run it through with their parents or their mentor to sort of digest what they've learned and to figure out about what they want.
So somebody to kind of chew over the facts about what occurred on each date. It sounds similar to the role a good girlfriend would play in mainstream or secular societies.
That's exactly it. It's a processing stage. And in my experience, what's happened is that when I've helped people, the first time they go out is a very significant debriefing process. And after that, they sort of get the idea. Some people know right away this is the right one. Other people, they sort of keep their emotions in check because they're too busy being intellectual about it. And on these dates, there's no touching, there's no physical interaction, because that can sort of blind somebody to the realities of how they're feeling or how they're reacting to the person. If they get physically involved, they could, you know, have that cloud out the reality of what's really going on between the two people. And it's putting the cart before the horse. So what happens is that some couples hold back on their emotional reaction to the person because they're too busy trying to assess what works, what doesn't work. And then once it's safe, and once they feel they really, really genuinely admire this person, they really like spending time with the person, and so on and so forth, then they'll let the emotions start happening. That's a very common thing. And so you have to wait till that happens, because you can't marry somebody just because you admire them. You have to have a feeling for them. It has to be both factors. I had once a shidduch that I was involved with, and the person, you know, I was talking to the boy about the shidduch, and he said that he really likes her, and he'd be a little disappointed if it didn't work out. At the next date afterwards, we talked, and he said, I would be quite disappointed if it didn't work out. By the next date, he was saying he'd be devastated if it didn't work out. So it's like, it's a build up of getting to know the person and feeling how, and they got married.